did the AFC conference yesterday, a couple days ago. Solo, I'm going to go ahead and do the NFC conference and touch bases with that since the NFL do kick off tonight. Thank goodness that it's back. Football is back. We have our football back all the way into February. So can say that your weekends will be filled with nothing but piskin and hits and hey, you know, as they say in Espanol, football Americana is back. So I'm very excited. You know, of course, the other co-host is very excited. So we can't wait for it to be back and have it discussed and have all the drama storylines that pick up. And, you know, the NFL is one of those sports that's big on parody. So I'm very excited for it to have back here. So, you know, nonetheless, it's just a rainy day over here where I'm at in Orlando. So we'll get through this bad boy. I hope everything is well for everybody else. And you're making your wings and your sausages and have your chips and dip. And like they say, the calories doesn't count on football Sunday. This one particularly is going to be Thursday, this game particularly. But let's get into it, man. I'm going to go ahead and get into it and cover the NFC. Like I said, we touched bases on that. We also made our picks as well. So both of those episodes are posted up. So I'm just going to give a quick view of mine, so this shouldn't be too long. Try not to hold you guys up, and I appreciate you guys for listening. Another co-host is actually at work right now, so I'm gonna go ahead and knock this out because I actually got plans this pretty much this afternoon and evening, so I'd be tied up. So I just wanted to make sure while I have time that at least we get the NFC covered as well. So all right, so pretty much how we did this format for the AFC. If you listen to the podcast, we kind of went over who is the best quarterback in the division and who is the best skilled player as far as wide receiver, tight end, running back in the division by the end of the season. Which defensive storyline are you looking forward to in this division? How many potential playoff teams are in this division? Who are they? And who wins the division? So me and Kevin broke that down for the AFC. I went through all the teams, went through their past, present, and future. Kind of got a glimpse of that, what we thought, what can happen. And so now we get to go to the NFC, which we hold up there because the eventual champion came out of this division. So we wanted to go ahead and get that squared away. So, but anyways, let's get this bad boy starting off. We'll start the NFC. And the first division we're going to go with is the NFC West. That consists of the Seattle Seahawks, the Los Angeles Rams, the Arizona Cardinals, and the San Francisco 49ers. Last year you had two teams that represented the playoffs in this division. You had the Seahawks and the Rams. The Seahawks was 12-4, and the Los Angeles Rams was 10-6. Cardinals was 500, and San Fran was 6-10. This is, as everybody will know, this is probably the best division in football. You possibly have a case that all these teams in the division can be playoff bound. All of them have the talent to do so. So this is the division that a lot of people are just going to keep their eye on. As far as the stories offline, you had Russell Wilson, with him not sure about his future in Seattle. Then you look at the Rams, who added Matthew Stafford. They believe that he is an upgrade from Jared Goff. Of course, they still got one of the most dominant linemen in the game and Aaron Donald. Arizona, Kyle Murray is just growing into his own. You got J.J. Watt, who's a little bit older, coming over to the team. DeAndre Hopkins is arguably one of the top five wide receivers in the league right now. And San Francisco, with their quarterback drama, they drafted Trey Lance, and they got Jimmy Garoppolo. So now you got to go with that. Kittle does make a comeback here. He was injured part of season last year. So this division is really stacked, man. And even to this, you know, the year prior to San Francisco was in the Super Bowl. That just tell you how competitive the division is, that now they end up being the bottom. And the year before, the Buccaneers made from out of NFC to the Super Bowl, the 49ers was there. So football is a crazy sport, man. It's one of those sports where that 1 year you're on the top and you know you're competing for a championship and you're a championship contender, and then the following year stuff happens, injuries happens, a lot of moves happens as far as free agency, and boom, it's gone like that. So but yeah, that's kind of like my review of the division. Like I said, this is the best division in football, and to me, I just there could be possibly three teams come out of this division. So, but let's go ahead and give a little quick synopsis of it. So, from my personal review, this is my opinion. So, feel free to say, hey, take it with a grain of salt. So, but this is what my personal thoughts of it. But the best quarterback in this division, me. So I'm gonna be a little different because I know everybody can go with the answer Russell Wilson. I think I'm gonna go with Kyler Murray probably by. He's gonna have a fantastic year. I like to say the distraction for Russell Wilson is over. He is obviously the class of the division as far as the quarterback, but I think Kyler Murray's coming to his own. Last year, this human being completed about almost 68% of his passes. Threw nearly for 4,000 yards, and he had about 800 rushing yards with 11 touchdowns, and they got him some help. And so that's why I say this team should be very interesting. I think they can make some noise, and it's all is going to be on the progression of Kyler Murray and how far he takes them. So who's the best skilled player as far as wide end, tight end, receiver in division by the end of the season? Listen, I'm gonna go with George Kittle on this one. He's coming back from MCL knee sprain last September. You know, he did had 643 yards and two touchdowns before he went down. He is arguably a top three to five tight end. He just made that 49ers offense more dynamic, and so I'm very interested to see how they progress with him being back. And Lance does offer that ability to run, and he's already as they always say, man, the favorite person on the team is always the backup quarterback, and they're looking at Trey Lance and looking at him what things that he can do. So but that's why I say with him is it's gonna be very, very interesting. So but it's nice to see George Kittle back. Hopefully he does stay healthy. And it'd be see how that works out with him being back. And that defense has always been pretty good with them, with the 49ers. But George Kittle is going to be fun to see. So next question is going to be, what is the defensive storyline out of this division? Seahawks were 12-4 last year. The defense is pretty solid, but I'm just curious to see how they're going to be amidst all the distractions and everything that Russell Wilson has kind of created, kind of smoothed over a little bit, but you just know that it's still there. But this defense, do they make a jump? They was in the middle last year statistically, but, you know, they got Jamal Adams. They still got Wagner. They still got Diggs at free safety. So, This is a team that you know what you're going to get pretty much offensively from them. You just wonder where their defense is going to be at, and are they going to take a slip or not. So that's what I'm trying to figure out with this team here with their defense, so it should be fun. How many potential playoff teams are in this division, and who are they? Initially, I wrote down two, but I feel like this division can have three. So, yeah, one division winner, and this division possibly can have two of the wild cards. And I'm gonna go with that. So who I think is gonna win the division is the Cardinals. I know I'm going out on a limb here. And then the Rams and the Seahawks will make the playoffs as wild cards. We would have three teams from the same division in the playoffs here. So that's gonna be my guess. I don't think any other division NFC can compete. I don't think any division NFL can compete with this division. They're just pretty stacked up, man. So, but yeah. So, all right, we're going to go to the North Division. The North Division of the teams that you have are your Green Bay Packers, who was 13-3. You got Chicago Bears, who was 8-8. Minnesota Vikings, who was 7-9. And Detroit Lions, who was 5-11. Aaron Rodgers, this division is pretty much filled with, you know, the Aaron Rodgers dilemma. You know, there's been rumors about him wanting to get traded. He was not happy. He's not going to report to camp. Eventually, you know, reporting to camp, it seems like he's going to play with him. But you're kind of skeptical what his future is going to be the following year. And will he be possibly traded to another team? The Bears, they went ahead and drafted Justin Fields. He is not going to be the starter. It's going to be Andy Dalton. Is it going to be the starter for them? So we'll see how that works out there. And I know a lot of people are criticizing Matt Nagy and his coaching staff because there's these other teams that's going to rookie quarterbacks, such as the Jaguars, such as the Jets. And there's one more team. Oh, the Patriots. Those three teams are going with their rookie quarterbacks. So it makes you wonder why the Bears are not going with them. But, you know, it is what it is. Justin Fields will have his time. They draft him to be the future. And you, at the end of the day, as a coach, you just got to make sure you got to put your young quarterbacks in the best situations to succeed. I really felt like the other situations, Jags are, we talked about them. They're going through a rebuilding phase. The Jets are going through a rebuilding phase. Chicago is still trying to compete a little bit and trying to go by for a wild card. Not saying those other teams are not, but I just feel like Chicago is definitely trying to get that route where they still can be in the middle and try to snag a wild card or playoff berth somehow. So I get the move with trying to go with a veteran at the quarterback position. The Vikings, they still got Dalvin Cook, who is just – is a beast in that division. The Lions are rebuilding. They're going a different route. So they have traded for Jared Goff. So Jared Goff is their quarterback. So we'll see if the change helps them all and whatnot. But this is really the NFC North division here in a nutshell, in my opinion. So best quarterback in the division, obviously the class of the class is going to be, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we can go to his stats. What he's doing still at his older years, he seemed to be still be hitting a stride pretty much. But 4,300 yards passing, 48-5, that's touchdowns and interceptions, and 84 QBR rating. He's asking for more of offensive help. They did sign Randall Cobb back. I don't know how much that helps, seeing that he's a shell himself. But it is someone that is familiar with Aaron Rodgers, a familiar face, someone that's familiar with the routes and stuff that they run. So they do have some kind of synergy that they had in the past. So get him back to kind of get him reacclimated with A-Rod and see how that works out. So. The best skilled player as far as wide end, tight end, receiver in the division, I'm going to go with Dalvin Cook. This guy has 16 touchdowns with nearly 1,600 yards. He is just a menace. The way he runs with speed and power combined, I feel like that he is really a good security blanket for your offense there and the quarterback there. But that team is still deep. As far as like their receivers, they still got Adam Thielen. They got Justin Jefferson, that wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, who's coming to his own, who's going to be a stud. So You ain't got to worry about pretty much the Vikings' offense. You just got to worry how they're going to do on the other side of the ball. And can they make noise in the division? They probably can get – I'm thinking now they're probably the second best team in the division. But that's still a pretty gap between them and the Packers right now. So the defensive storyline that I'm looking for in the division is the Bears' defense was really good a few years ago. And last year they really took a step back. They looking like average or below average. So they're pretty much what I can buy the stats was they was 22nd against the rush and 14 against the pass. And this is a team that still got Khalil Mack on it. So I don't quite understand the fallback with this team, but especially with their quarterback situation, you like for their team to be a little bit above average, because when they was above average on defense, they were definitely they was a playoff team, and so they took that step back, and you just wonder if their defense is digressing. But if they're going to try to have some success, their defense has got to create turnovers. Their defense has got to get to the quarterback. We know the Chicago Bears team is always known for hard-nosed defense and always has been linebacker. I don't know if I say university because this is the pros, but they've been good with a pool of linebackers coming from that particular team. Bears has always been good with having great linebackers. So we'll see Khalil Mack can get back on the ship and lead this team back into a top 10 defense. So that would be very interesting. As far as playoff teams in this division, there's only one. And it's pretty much going to be the Packers. I'd like to say that the Vikings will have a shot to make the playoffs because the NFC West is so good. They'll be competing for a wild card against either one of those three teams that's over there. So I just feel like the rest of the division is just going to have one team that made the playoffs because the NFC West is that dang good. So, all right, so let's move forward to we're going to go to the NFC. Let's go to the NFC East. I say the champions for last. All right, NFC East. NFC East consists of the Washington football team, the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Washington football team was 7-9. The Giants was 6-10. The Cowboys was 6-10. The Eagles was 4-11. This division is very confusing, but this division is always fun to watch for some odd reason. I don't know if it's because it just had the Cowboys in it, and the Cowboys is supposedly America's team. But it's always the allure of this division because of the history of this division. That this division always comes to the limelight. I thought for sure that, like I said, this is one of those things where this is particularly the worst division in the conference. So as long as you win your division, you got a playoff spot, and this what happened had to happen. You know, all these teams were under 500, and the Washington football team ended up making it to the playoffs, which, by the way, they did make it a ball game when they played the Bucs. It was a pretty competitive game. So as much as we rag on this division, Washington football team made it a hell of a game when it came to the when they made the playoffs and everything like that. So that was interesting, man. But the Giants, you know, as far as I know, I heard Saquon Barkley was participating in practices. He seemed like he's on track, on good to go for week one. Saquon Barkley is one of those guys, and I tell people this, and I was telling some of the Giants fans because those Giants play my Broncos on Sunday. Saquon Barkley is definitely a game changer. He's enough. I know they was trying to – Daniel Jones, you don't know what you fully got with him. You know, they got a good tight end over there. They got some good slots over there, decent slots and everything like that. But Saquon Barkley is one of those guys that can really change the game for you, open up passing lanes for Mr. Jones. So I don't think Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones is still one of those guys that's still trying to grow into his own. He's not really a flashy quarterback, but Daniel Jones is someone that could really benefit from the gravity that Saquon Barkley would pull for him as far as like line up and coverages and everything like that. So I'm hoping to see a healthy Saquon Barkley. I think he made that New York Giants team that more dynamic. He can have, I don't want to say a full-on Derrick Henry impact, but he can definitely have an impact similar to the way Derrick Henry is does some things. And as long as you don't turn over the ball, get his man his touches, I think you'll do all right with them. Cowboys, Dak Prescott had a brutal injury the following year. Good to see him back. Good to see him get paid. I know there was a lot of his contract situation was always up in the air. Cowboys is probably got one of the best offenses in the league. They really do. Dak Prescott's at quarterback. Amari Cooper's at wide receiver. You got Ezekiel Elliott at running back. Like that team is just really stacked offensively. The question has always been for the Cowboys, their defense. Their defense is beyond horrendous, and you just don't know where to pin with them. Philadelphia is young with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. They're going to go with him. They did pick up Gardner Minshew, the second from the Jags, but they anticipate him to be a third string. But they're still going to see what they got in Jalen Hurts. So I expect Philly to kind of just see where it goes with their young quarterback. You saw a little bit of progression from Jalen Hurts. They decided to go away from Carson Wentz, trade him to Indy. So now this is, for the time being, it is going to be Jalen Hurts' football team. So, but yeah, this division was a mess in general. So it's always something with this division, a lot of drama in this division. So the NFC East is one of those where there's a lot of old school fans that root for a lot of teams here. So this is why I wanted division always come to the limelight to me. But that's my preview of the division in general. Best quarterback in the division is I'm going with that Prescott. You know, we've seen what he can do. Like I said, 5 games in last year, he had a nasty ankle injury. But like I said, they did pay him the 4-year over $160 million. At least a contract degree of at least up to $160 million. So this guy is going to be fun to watch. Dak is very easy to root for. Like you said, with the Cowboys, again, you just worry about their defense. So, but yeah, Dak is the quarterback and the best quarterback in his division, in my opinion. So, best skill player, wide receiver, tight end, running back. I kind of alluded to that with Saquon Barkley. He torn his ACL last year. And this team, there's a lot of injuries last year, I mean, more than usual with football. But like I said, the way that he can really change the dynamic of the offense, you can tell that you will see very soon on if he is healthy and ready to go that he's going to make life a bit easier for Mr. Daniel Jones. So you'll like to see him be healthy. And like you say, you just look at him and Derrick Henry, I mean, just they're built different, man. They're built like defensive ends and they're running backs. This is wild. So rooting for him. This defense storyline out of this division, looking forward to this division, is definitely the Washington football team. Their front seven is beyond ridiculous, man. They led by Chase Young and Montez Sweat. They're sack monsters, man. They was in second in points allowed. Like I mentioned before, they really gave the Bucs a struggle when they played them in Washington last year. So that was a fantastic defense. If you like defense, that was a sight game to watch. So you just wonder, can they do that again? Can the Washington football team do that again and have them be led by the defense? Now you got Ryan Fitzpatrick at the quarterback. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, he does well enough, you know. And so as long as he doesn't turn the ball and put in a situation, but that defense is so dang dominant, it's hard to run against them. And so as long as your team can hold it down a little bit and make sure that they're good, make sure that they don't turn over the ball, make sure it's just a low possession game, time possession in the field, where you at. Washington can win some games. There'd be some ugly games, but they can win some games. So, how many potential playoff teams are in the division, and who are they? I'm going to go with one. I'm going to go with the Cowboys because of their dynamic offense, but their defense is ugh. But I'm tempted to say the Washington football team again, man. I would say this. I'm picking the Cowboys, but it will not surprise me if the Redskins get this division again. They was a fun team to watch last year defensively. So, and now you got the flash and the lure of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's going to bring some character to that locker room that they already have. So, but I would say this, keep an eye on the Washington football team, man. I think they're going to do something. I don't know too much about the Giants, that they're not ready yet, and Philly's not ready yet. But the NFC East has always been fun rival games to watch. So so that division always going to be fun to watch. All right, so as far as this last division here, we're going to go with the NFC South. The NFC South consists of the New Orleans Saints, who was 12-4. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who was 11-5. Carolina Panthers, who was 5-11. Your Atlanta Falcons, who was 4-12. Your eventual Super Bowl champions came out of this division, which happened to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a wild card. Bucks, man, they kind of started off slow last year. You know, of course, everybody had the question about Tom Brady's getting older. He'd like a flash in the pan. He's kind of worried about, you know, what production he's going to bring. He's trying to, I get why he chose this team, because if you look at Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, it was loaded at wide receiver, man. They had Chris Godwin. They had Mike Evans, Scotty Miller. And then when Tom Brady decided to sign, Rob Gronkowski came. Antonio Brown came. Ronald Jones is one heck of a running back, pretty solid running back. Leonard Fournette, he really didn't kick it off in Jacksonville like he should, but when he got to the bus, he had a redefined role in that team. So as with a lot of teams, that team defensively was good too. They got my boy Shaquille Barrett, who came from the Broncos, and I'm very happy for him that, you know, he's getting paid. So I already knew when he was going to leave the Broncos, I was like, you can't even afford him, but you already knew that that guy was going to be a star. And I'm kind of been following him a little bit since he did come down here and play. And hey, I'm happy for him that he got a ring. Only weird one I'm happy for that got a ring, because he's played for the Broncos. So, but nonetheless, this Buccaneers team started off a little bit slow. It's funny because the Saints, I mean, mollywopped them in the regular season. I mean, they beat the crap out of them. So once you thought the rematch was going to happen, you like, how this going to go? And the Bucks end up, they start as a wild card, and then they end up, they beat the Saints pretty darn good. And they went on to beat the Packers. So it was like you kept picking against them, but no. Tom Brady knows when to play. let's just keep it 100, man. Tom Brady just knows when to play. He knows when to bring it. He knows what time it is when it gets there. Just get me to the playoffs. That seems to be his motto. Just get me to the playoffs. We'll figure it out there. And by golly, they did, man. Tom looked more crisp than he did in a few years. Tom's personality seemed to – it's showing more. I don't think I've seen Tom's personality as much as I did. I don't know if it – was the way that Tom was a fun guy, but I don't think I've seen his personality come to light more. Maybe because I live down here in Florida and we see a lot of the Bucs games and I see a lot of these clips and I know a lot of fans that root for the Bucs. So you see more of Tom Brady content. So it's cool to see, you know, him walking out the the gate stiffed on What was the tequila? It was avocado tequila. I believe that's what he said. He was wasted on avocado tequila. wonder how that tastes like. Avocado tequila. It sounds good. Bartender, put down the rocks for me. I can talk to my bartenders and try some avocado. I won't eat avocado, but I'll try some avocado tequila. Nah, but nonetheless, back on topic. The Bucks, man, they pretty much got hot at the right time. Then you got scared with Mike Evans' injury, so you didn't know how much they was going to have with him. Then he came back and played and looked pretty solid. So, yeah, the Bucks is came as a wild card and won a Super Bowl. And the first team to do it to win at their home site. You know, that was in the Super Bowl era that Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosted the Super Bowl, and they won a Super Bowl in Tampa. So, first time it ever happened. And in retrospect, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty cool to sit there and say that you won the big game on your home field. So, the Saints, they're going through some changes with quarterback Drew Brees in the retiring. So now we enter the Jameis Winston era with them. They decide, Sean Payton decided to start him over Taysom Hill. You kind of interested to see who this Jameis Winston is, because we know what we saw when he was with the Bucks. Gunslinger, can throw the ball deep, but you know, was real picky, choose his time to pick the run and pick the throw. But there are some times where, you know, his gunslinger mentality got him in trouble more often than not. He had before he came to the Saints, the 1 year he had as many touchdowns that he had interceptions. That's not good. But, you know, he had the yards and stuff like that. And with those receivers, too, and you see what Tom Brady did with those same receivers, it's night and day. But you hope under Sean Payton, you like to see more control, more discipline. Kevin would know this, but I can't think of if Michael Thomas is good to go, but I believe he should be good to go. Alvin Kamara presents a threat. That's probably the best running back that he had played with in the NFL. So that will at least take some pressure off him as far as like making sure that you make the check down plays, you make the pass plays, you rely on Kamara as long as you stay healthy. And then the New Orleans Saints defense has always been pretty solid, so they should be pretty good. Carolina Falcons end up picking up Sam Darnold on the trade. So Sam Darnold is their quarterback. Christian McCaffrey should be back. But he's definitely one of the best running backs in the league. So good to have him back. Atlanta Falcons has always had a solid offense. Matt Ryan has been a really good quarterback. But it's just the record just doesn't show that, unfortunately. But he do get a number one target tight end throwing to Kyle Pitts. And I'm sorry, he still got Calvin Ridley. They did trade Julio Jones. Julio Jones made it known that he got the drone with the Falcons. Well, in particular, it was with Julio Jones that he was in the media. And I didn't think Shannon Sharp kind of did him dirty. I don't know if he was on the phone or not, but he didn't know that he was on the phone while he was in the studio. But well, yeah, Julio Jones is now traded to Tennessee. So now you go with Calvin Ridley, you go with Kyle Pitts at the slots. Fun. They got a couple of fun prospects as any of these teams do, but you wonder if this is going to be Matt Ryan last year. There's been murmurs and talks about it. He seemed like he's in a Matt Stafford situation where he's going to probably be traded to a team that's hopefully better. I think Matt Ryan can see elsewhere, put some decent time around, because I think he's a good quarterback, but he just not luckily having the record just doesn't show for himself. And Atlanta Falcons just kind of been on something since they had that 1 year in the Super Bowl. A few years ago, they made it to the Super Bowl and they saw the end of the tunnel. They felt like they was on their way to get a Super Bowl, and then Tom Brady and the Patriots kind of came back in a historic comeback, and they really haven't been the same since. So that's my kind of overall look over the NFC South. one team just got hot at the right time. That one team happened to have Tom Brady. Tom Brady is still very good at his age. What I saw, this is his 22nd year in the NFL. Goodness gracious. And the man is saying that he can still play a few more years. So we'll see, man, if this is the year that Tom Brady declines. But the Bucs bring everybody back. I think that was unheard of. They brought everybody back on offense, I believe. And on defense. I'm pretty sure they brought everybody back on offense. So they have some familiarity with that. So best quarterback in the division. Come on, man. It's Tom Brady, dude. Like, I'm not going to try to pick somebody else. I'm not going to try to, you know, there's no disrespect to the other three quarterbacks in this division, which they do got some talented quarterbacks in this division. But come on, man. I'm kind of. Listen, man, I don't know if it's because he was in a Patriot uniform and I just used to just slander Tom Brady a lot, but and maybe I'm seeing more of his games because he's actually down here and all I get to watch is Tampa Bay games and I can't see my Broncos games, so I'm just seeing a lot of that. But what he's doing at his age, man, is just it's just utterly impressive. Got through for nearly 4,700 yards. 40-12 touchdown interception ratio there, and he completed 65% of his passes. But also you have, like I said, the talent that you have, and Mike Evans and Scotty Miller and Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski. Like, the team is just freaking stacked, man, offensively. So but you do wonder if they're gonna have a Super Bowl hangover, because Bruce Arians always been in the news, already been in the news talking about certain habits that they're creating after winning the Super Bowl. So it happens to the best of us. So, you know, you got the teams that's out there home, you got yours. So we'll see what happens with them. So who is the best skilled player as far as wide end, tight end, receiver, running back in his division by the end of the season? I'm going to go Alvin Kamara. This dude is a dynamic playmaker. Can catch the ball as a receiver, run it. He just the dual threat that you're looking for in the game today. So Alvin Kamara last year had nearly 1,700 total yards rushing and receiving, and 21 total touchdowns. So He's very fun to watch. And I wonder how he's going to really help Jameis as far as, like, having that dynamic threat, that dual threat that he can rely on. But how's Alvin Kamara going to adjust without Drew Brees? This Saints team has been used for a quarterback for nearly a decade, and so this is going to be a new switch for them. And their hearts are already heavy with the whole Hurricane Ida issues and everything like that. So, as Kevin mentioned, they're playing in Jacksonville. So, you just see how it works out. So, which defense storyline are you looking forward to in the division? I'm going to go with the Saints defense with Jameis at quarterback. It was a top five team defense last year, and Drew Brees wasn't really looking his best, but Drew Brees really didn't turn over the ball as much, but you can tell Drew Brees was looking older. So Jameis is someone that gave him a little bit of a threat, could run the ball and everything like that. So you just wonder how that's going to work out with them, and if Jameis is going to put that defense in uncomfortable situations, and you, as a Saints fan, you hope that's not the case, but you'll see what happens here. How many potential playoff teams do you see in this division? Okay, so I mean, I know I picked three in the NFC West. There could be possibly two, but since I picked three in the NFC West, I got to go at one. But what I did have in my notes, who I thought could make it, the Bucs and the Saints. And then I got the Bucs winning the division. Luckily for them, they don't have Drew Brees, and the Saints As far as I think the Saints take a step back, so they won't be applying that pressure like they did last year to the Bucs. And the Saints end up winning the division. So you have to see how that works out there. So, but overall, I think the Bucs win it, the division. Who is my home field teams? That's a really good question. Packers. I'm going to go with the Packers and... Packers and... I go with the Bucks. Packers and the Bucks get the home field. I think Bucks just get the second home field. And then Cardinals, Cowboys, rounds out. And then your wild cards is the Seahawks and the Rams is what I'm going with. So that is all I got for you as far as the NFC preview. I managed to get 42 minutes out. Let me close this bad boy up here. Nonetheless, thanks for listening, guys. I'm going to close it up. So make sure you follow the podcast page. Stay tuned to me and Kevin. We'll probably touch bases on sometime soon about some college games and whatnot. But you can follow the podcast page at Balls Not Court. You can follow me at NMINCP. Kevin Carter, you can follow him at KevinC2415. Balls Not Court, you can follow, you can go to the anchor page there and type in anchor.fm/Cortez-Paul. If you want to get this podcast a Podomatic, you can type in endomonocp.podomatic.com. Our Facebook page, which I'm promoting right now, getting some likes there, it's pretty sweet. Balls Not Court Podcast. Our Instagram, I have an Instagram page. You can go to at Balls Not Court Podcast. We are on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Windows, Google Play, Anchor, Spotify, and many other sites as well. Kevin, if he was here, he said, where we found it before. We're spanning to a bunch of other sites as well, too. So, keep basis on that. Nonetheless, thanks for listening. This is Cortez Paul. Balls Not Court Podcast. Football's back, ladies and gentlemen. Please enjoy it. Be safe. And go sports. Wherever your team is, I hope they do well. What's up, the Chiefs? All right, take care. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.